Welcome back to another episode of Crosses and Graces. My name is Peter Holman. Here today, we're going to talk about Americanism again as a follow-up to the last one we did, since you guys had some feedback on that, and I wanted to add more. I want to say thank you to Mike for hosting this show, and thank all of you for watching. If you like it, make sure to smash that like button. If you don't like it, make sure to go and tell me down below what you want to hear, what I missed, etc. We'll go from there. So, yeah, however we can have this dialogue and back and forth, I'm thrilled about it. So let's get started. Americanism, part two. So I wanted to emphasize, we talked about the fact that Cardinal Gibbons had been driving forward, or at least been allowing kind of a unique view of how Catholicism, Christianity, was supposed to be practiced, that was concerning enough for Leo XIII to have to address it, to say, look, Americanism is bad. American church needs to be united with the Catholic church, one whole. And so we are Catholic first, and we're attached to our country second. So the emphasis here, the point, kind of what I want to drive home today, is looking at the Catholic church is a single church. There are multiple rites. So we have Eastern liturgy, we have our Latin liturgy, so the Roman liturgy, and even within Eastern rites, there are divisions there between Chaldean and Byzantine and so on and so forth. But this is not multiple churches. Even when we look at scripture, they talk about the church at a particular city, not a unique church that's all by itself that has a separate line of authority. That's not a thing. All of the church is subservient to Jesus Christ and to his hierarchy that he created with the bishops. So we have bishops and priests and that whole unified structure there, where we have parishes attached to dioceses attached to the entire church. It's all one and the whole. The word Catholic means universal. That means the whole. So it can cover every single person on the face of this earth, can be part of the Catholic Church. But to be part of that universal church, which can cover all of us, we must also accept all of the teachings, the whole, that have been provided to us by Christ and the apostles and the magisterium within that church. We also must accept all of the authority that is rightfully given to men on earth to occupy divine offices within that church. That's what Hebrews 13:17 tells us. We must be obedient to the prelates. Now, what does that mean? That means the prelates hold authority which crosses national boundaries. So when the Pope makes a determination that is magisterial in nature, it aligns with the apostolic tradition and it aligns with the scriptures, we don't care what our country says about anything. We don't care what our bishops say about anything. Or say, I don't know, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. We don't care what they say about anything if it disagrees with the scripture, the apostolic tradition, and the magisterium of the church. They cannot create a new truth and a new fact which differentiates us in some way to say that we can go off and practice Catholicism in a different way, right? In the end, this means that worship of God translates across the entire world in a uniform manner so that all of us have the same theology, no matter where we reside in the world. And again, there may be Eastern liturgies and there may be Western liturgies, but in the end, we're all still worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Ghost according to the sound, timeless traditions of the church. And that cannot be changed, and our allegiance must be first and foremost to God and his truth and his church before it comes to, especially, a nation and their bishops' conference and anything that starts to disagree with those uniform truths, which must be accepted, which cannot coexist with falsehood, right? Our church has an identity as a whole. The individual national churches, they don't need their own identity. That's silly. They're part of the whole. My hand does not have its own identity separate from the rest of my body. In the same vein, the USCCB should not try to make its own identity and separate itself out in a way that takes Catholics away from being Catholic, because they're going to be American first and listen to bishops who are going in a different direction. That doesn't make any sense. We need to be uniform in our practice of our faith in a way that aligns with the magisterium and the tradition and the scripture completely uniformly. And even if there are different cultural things, that's fine. Understand there are cultural unique aspects in terms of how we may worship or etc. But what we're really trying to focus on here is the theology doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. God doesn't change. And heresies and apostasy is still heresy and apostasy, regardless of what language it's in and what country it comes from, right? That seems to make sense. So when we're talking about our national identity, it cannot conflict with the church fathers and the church doctors, because that's what God gave us. We need to make sure that we don't go and sit there and believe that an individual has the power to change the truths of God. And whether that man sits in Rome on St. Peter's chair, or whether he sits in Washington, D.C., or he sits in somewhere in New Jersey or New York or wherever, those guys can't change the truth. God gave us truth. God is truth. God never changes, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be. Therefore, no bishop can come up with a random new theology which conflicts with God. Otherwise, he goes in conflict with God, and anyone who follows with him goes in conflict with God, and that's why bishops hold a lot of responsibilities. Granted, we have a choice as to whether or not we follow them, but it's their responsibility to give us sound theology so that we all can go the right direction. Bishop Carroll was one of the first here in the United States to take us in a direction that started to cause conflict because it was normalizing and accepting heresies to coexist with us, which is, we can't do that. The church is her own creation, institution, empowered and built by God. It cannot coexist with falsehood. Otherwise, it would fall apart. And God said, it's not going to fall apart. It's going to be perfect, which is why in Matthew 18:17, he tells us, go to the church. It's why Paul tells us that the truth resides in the church, 1 Timothy 3:15, why the wisdom of God resides in the church. That's where Ephesians 3:8-10, that's what Paul tells us. And Ephesians 5:22-33, he tells us the church is perfect and cannot ever deviate from God's commandments. So we really should have faith in the church and not try to fight it, right? So any bishop or any priest, even any theologian who tries to tell you that we can go a different direction than the way the fathers went, the way the doctors went, the way the church as a whole has ever gone, all the magisterial teachings, anything that deviates from that, no, throw it out. Just ignore it. Go back to God. Many men will deviate. God warned us this would happen. We don't have the luxury of deviating and still getting to heaven. So let's commit ourselves to the tradition. So Carroll, although he was the first, Cardinal Gibbons would follow him among a whole of a bunch of other people. It ends up being a natural progression to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, which we now see where they kind of maintain that weird appeasement with the world and with heresy. And it's just, it's gross, you know, in all seriousness. Like, we have to be very firm in our stances on things like the Moloch issue and with things like the lifestyles that we witness in Boston and San Francisco, which are completely disordered. All of those things need to be completely and utterly rejected, and that means our politicians don't have the right to support that and still claim to be Catholic. It's that simple. And if the bishops won't stand up for that or tell us that, then we need to realize the bishops are not helping us to get to heaven or to God. They're helping us to be one with the world, which is gross. We can be in the world, but not of it. The closer we get to the world, unfortunately, the farther we get from God. This is what John tells us in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 15. Nations were going to become godless and turn away from our Creator, from Jesus Christ, and from his kingship. And the question then now falls back on us. Are we contributing to that mess? Or are we getting closer to God? This is where we do have a responsibility. It's not that Christ in our judgment is going to ask you, did you do what the bishop said even when he was wrong? And expect that we're going to be obedient 100% of the time to error. No, but he is going to ask us, did you do everything that bishop told you 100% of the time, even when he was wrong? And then blame us, rightfully so, if we follow a bishop into error, into heresy, into apostasy, like what we're witnessing over in Germany. We need to be very thoughtful about our actions, about our thoughts, about our words, and as how we interface with other people as we're trying to go and live our lives, knowing that it ends with death and judgment. Where are you going to end up when God judges you? Will he see, oh, you were obedient to my commandments. You followed everything I said. You looked up what the Father said, and you looked up what the doctor said, and you know my scripture and how it all fits together. And to keep yourself clear of all the error, you did everything you could. That's what we're hoping he's going to say, right? Okay. Are you doing that? You got to ask yourself and think this out. our nation does have its own unique aspects of character, but those unique character traits cannot deviate from the church in a way that causes problems with our theology and our ability to stay in union with God, etc. What does that mean? For better or worse, Americanism is an attachment, this weird building of the mythos, the air about our country that talks about independence. Nothing is really independent, okay? You and I literally came from our mother's womb. Complete dependence. And when we came out, it wasn't like we just found our own food and we got our own shelter. No, our parents had to do that. And then even when we got out of our parents' house, we had to go and be taught by other people. Our clothes were made by other people. We have jobs that are employed by other people. We have governments of other people. We have to interact and deal with other people on multiple levels just so we can survive and get till tomorrow. Nothing do we actually do alone. Independence is a myth. Never forget that. Any national character of a body cannot go and be completely independent of everything around it, whether it's the nation, whether it's the world, whether it's the church, or whether it's God. Everything has to be subservient in right order. And that means we're talking about that there's a hierarchy. There's people who are in charge at different levels. Respect it. Respect God's truth. Respect the truth that came out of the church. Respect then all the theology that aligns to the apostolic tradition, the scriptures, and the magisterium. We have an obligation to keep the dependence on God, his truth, his teachings, his sustenance in everything we do and not walk away. Most importantly, when it comes to grace, we're totally dependent on the church and her sacraments. God is feeding grace through the church. Our priests, when they administer the sacraments in any capacity, whether we're talking about confession, or we're talking about the Eucharist, or we're talking about first baptism, or we're talking about confirmation, marriage, last rites, all of those things are grace coming from God down to you and me. We can't get by, even hope to get to heaven or do anything right, unless we have grace and we have God. This is why we get into a state of mortal sin. We're not going to make it. That's not possible for us to reach heaven on our own. We have to rely on God and his truth and his teaching so that we can stay in a state of grace and reach heaven. Complete dependence. When we look at independence and what it is, the myth of independence, if we continue to go down that road towards independence and we put too much emphasis on independence or liberty, that's darkness, that's damnation. Don't do it. Focus on dependence on God, his truth. Focus on rightful authority and how we must follow that rightful authority to make sure that you and I can stay in our lane, in our station, make sure our families are organized in a way where they understand authority, they understand piety, they understand patriotism, and they understand at the same token how all that fits alongside of and subservience to our loyalty to the church, our faith, our love for God, and adherence to his teachings and everything he commanded in terms of how we're supposed to live. We don't have the luxury to contribute to the fracturing of Catholicism and still make it to heaven. There are only two outcomes in this entire equation. We are going to be damned, each one of us individually, or each one of us individually goes to heaven. So I can only go to heaven or hell. That is it. There is no middle ground, and all of you, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Are you contributing to your rise to heaven or your damnation? Are you contributing to the rise to heaven for other people, or are you contributing to their damnation? And this goes for your parish, this goes for your diocese, this goes for your church. And in the end, are you staying strictly within the bounds of the box that was created by God to say this is acceptable and everything on the outside is not? Where do you lie? Where do you fall? Think about that. Always be actively thoughtful in terms of how we live, knowing that it's not that I just go to church on a Sunday and walk away. No. I go to church every Sunday and any other day I can possibly go and live with God first and foremost in my mind when I wake up in the morning. Prayers in the morning, prayers in the evening, lifestyle that is hopefully Christian. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. We have to go and help Christ by being a medium for grace, so that when he gives us grace, we can go and help other people so they can see God and his truth and his church and then turn that way. Okay. That's what we have to do. We are mediums for grace. And all the difficulties that show up, including this fun that's Americanism, shows up as a cross that we bear on our shoulders, especially when those clergy at all levels make it hard for us to adhere to the truth. Only as wholly obedient Catholics, members of the Church, with full dependence on Jesus Christ, his perfections and his sacraments and the apostolic teachings, all of it, only in that capacity can we glorify God to the fullest extent, at an individual level, at a parish level, at a diocese level, at a national level, so we can be part of the Church in union with it, so that we can maintain grace and bring others into that fold. Only in full acceptance of God's truth and his traditions. This means to the exclusion of all errors. I don't care whether it's Protestant. I don't care whether it's pagan. I don't care whether it's satanic. I don't care whether it's atheistic. You put any label on it. If the church fathers and the scripture and the church doctors and ultimately then the summation of any of that, any association in there, if it disagrees with God's truth, we're out. And I don't care whether a priest told you to do it. I don't care whether a bishop told you to do it. And I don't care what they actually think is right when they're going to disagree with the scripture and the apostolic tradition and the magisterium of the church. If they're going to disagree with all that stuff, they can leave it. I'm not taking it. We have to be willing to go with God no matter what, to stay with his church no matter what, even if the men on the chairs of authority in this church decide to deviate from it, even if our nation decides to deviate from it. Our job is to help pray for them and offer sacrifice and carry the crosses that come along with their sins and our sins combined and try to go and bring us all back through our sufferings and offerings and penance and prayer. Can you do that? Are you with me? Again, all in or not? Again, two destinations. You got to live this life for the glory of God all the time. How well do you feel Americans are aligned to the whole church? How well do you feel that Americans are aligned to the truths that Christ gave to us, including the exclusivity of the church as compared to what Protestantism is trying to tell us that it should have been? How well do you think Americans are aligned to apostolic tradition? Are we more aligned to the traditions of Annibale Bonini and the weird spirit of Vatican II? Or are we more aligned to the timeless teachings of scripture, apostolic tradition, and the timeless magisterium? Do you think our American clergy want to be part of Christ's church, even if it means they lose their money and they lose their power and they lose their status among the elites in this country? Do you think that our clergy and our laity want to serve Christ in full capacity and abide by all of his laws, or only the ones that are convenient? And are we really ready for the persecution that comes if you and I and everyone else decides to follow completely to a T every commandment that Christ gave us? And that means even to speak up when stuff is wrong. Are we ready for that? It's difficult. It's not easy. So all these things, consider it. Figure out where you stand on all this stuff. I would love to hear your thoughts. Hopefully this was helpful for all of you. Thanks again to Restoring the Faith for hosting us. It was a pleasure to be here, and stay tuned for the upcoming episode where we're going to talk about the Vatican versus the church. So there's that. All right. Thank you for your time. I appreciate everything you've been able to provide in the comments below and all the other stuff. I appreciate it. Thank you for watching. May God bless us all and the Virgin protect us all. And as always, Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right. See you later.